Good morning. We're going to be going through our ministry opportunity. I'm going to move this back a little bit because I'm a big mouth. I know. She jumped up and down and said, I know it. We're going to go through our ministry opportunities for the week, and there are a number of changes, as you can anticipate. Please listen carefully to know what's going on. Today, there was to be the youth ministries that has been canceled. So no youth today. Monday was a deacon's meeting. That had already been, I've been told, had already been postponed or changed to the April meeting. So deacons, pay attention. You're going in April, not Monday night. Tuesday, the Cornelias were supposed to be going to Carrington. That has been canceled. And so they're not doing that. Everything else I'm going to tell you is tentative. It doesn't mean it hasn't been canceled yet. It simply means they haven't made a decision yet. They will let you know. Tuesday at 1 p.m., Women's Circle. Wednesday at noon is union service at the Madison Heights Baptist Church. 6:30 p.m., children's choirs. 7 p.m., prayer and Bible study. 7:30 p.m., disciple kids and drama rehearsal. Thursday, 6:30 sanctuary bells, and 7:30 chancel choir. So just listen out for any additional changes that may be coming your way. Also, please be aware that the Youth Mission Madness trip has been canceled. The whole thing has been done away with, not just our church, but has been eliminated. Those individuals who have made their deposits or paid their money or what have you, you will get a full refund. However, you can also take that money that's been paid and tell the individual, Randy or somebody, about it, that you can transfer that money over to go towards Passport in those funds. So you can switch it over if you want to, whatever you want to do. I think I've hit the end. Is there any other announcements I may have missed? Or if not, then we will begin our worship service. Thank you. This morning, if you will turn in your bulletin, our call of worship is printed there. Immediately following our call to worship is our Celebrating Grace hymn number 471. If you can and are able to, please stand. God is our rock, our salvation, our maker, and our redeemer.
God is our provider, our helper, our shepherd, and our savior.
The goodness and graciousness of God is as sweet as honey.
The foundation Christ loves is overflowing with new life.
Come, let us meet our Savior today through our prayers, praise, and proclamation. Thank you, and you may be seated. My name is Sandy Pierce, and on behalf of Madison Heights Baptist Church, I want to welcome each and every one of you here today. I know that it's a dreary day outside, but it's always a sunny atmosphere inside the house of the Lord when we have to gather together like this. I know that we are going through some uncharted territory, some unknown things, but we're glad to see each and every one of you here today. If you have any comments that you wish to pass on to the pastor or the deacons as far as their members are concerned, you can use the tariff on the bulletin. If you are a visitor with us today, we welcome you, and you may take that same tear-off and put in any information there that you would like for us to have and put it in the offering plate or give it to one of the deacons at the close of the service today. Once again, just welcome and have a safe week.
I want to add my welcome to Sandy's, and particularly we have some folks you don't see today. We are attempting to stream our service on our Facebook group for folks that weren't able to come today or felt safer not coming today. We want to welcome them. Some of our littlest worshipers are in here with us today rather than being in beginner worship or in the nursery, so we're glad that they are here as well. But I wanted to let you all know before we get into our scripture reading and our pastoral prayer that I have unilaterally decided to change our vision statement as a church, and it's partially based on the verse James 4, chapter 8, which reads in part, "Clean your hands, you sinners." That seems appropriate right now. It has been a week, lots of information coming at all of us about all that is going on in the world, and so we are mindful of that, mindful of the stress that all of that information can bring, and stress for people who are making decisions. And so it's important in this time to remember to pray for our leaders, our president, our governor, our local leaders, everybody in between as they are making decisions. They will be criticized, whatever they decide to do. We as church leaders, when we make decisions about what to do as a congregation, will be criticized, whatever we choose to do. Some will criticize and accuse us of an overreaction. Some will accuse us and criticize us for an underreaction. And that's to be expected. But just trust that leaders are trying to make the best decisions based on the information that we have, based on looking after our congregation and our congregation trying to be a helpful part of our community. And so we appreciate your understanding on that. Understand and give grace to people who look at this differently than you do and have a different response to how to take care of themselves and their community during the coronavirus. Offer some understanding and some grace. We're all figuring this out together. There is a question of how do we greet one another, because this is a church where we like to greet each other with hugs and handshakes. I am a hugger. You all probably know that. I like the hugs and the handshakes at the close of the worship service here in front of the communion table. I'm not going to be there today at the close of the worship service to hand out lots of hugs and handshakes, okay? And it's not because I don't love you. It's because I do love you. And we're asking that you would practice the same things. And so the question is, if we're a congregation that shows lots of affection and hugs and handshakes, many of us do, how do we greet one another and show love to each other when we don't want to make contact with hugs or handshakes? Well, I'm going to offer like three suggestions, okay? First are the heart hands. I call them the Justin Bieber hands. If you remember a young Justin Bieber, y'all know what I'm talking about. Am I right? How do we do it, Eleanor? Let me see it. Like that? Okay, make heart with your hands. If you're a comic book fan, if you're a fan of Marvel Comics, Wakanda Forever, from the movie, from the hero Black Panther, or just a touch to your heart, or just a friendly smile. There are lots of ways that we can greet each other and share our affection with each other over the next couple of weeks that will can help not share things with each other that we don't want to share, but share the love that we do want to share with each other. So we'll try those out today. So if you see somebody, try out one of those greetings and share your love in a new way. We will be challenged to reach out to people in different ways. Lots of the hospital and senior care centers have lots of restrictions on visitation going on right now. You all know Kim, my wife, works at one of those places, and they have lots of brand new restrictions this week on visitation. So how do we care for people in our congregation and people in our families who are at the hospital or in a nursing home? How do we reach out to our shut-ins? Call them. Send a card. If they're a texter, send a text. There are ways we can reach out to them and make sure that they know our affection without us carrying any germs to them. And that goes for any regular flu season too, if we think about it. And so think about ways that you can continue to reach out and to people who can't be here. We're hoping that streaming on Facebook Live will be a ministry to people who did not come today and have internet access, but that doesn't cover everyone. And then the last question I have is, how can we redeem this time? Some of you might spend more time at home over the next couple of weeks. Some of you might not be at work or school over the next couple of weeks. How do we redeem this time? I would suggest enjoy time with your family. Enjoy some quiet and a little less busy when in a very busy world. Enjoy reading scripture, reading a good book. Doing things together as a family in your homes. Lots of ways that we can redeem this time. And pray for people. Pray for your family. Pray for people who are taking care of sick people. Pray for doctors and hospital workers and all those kinds of folks. Pray for people who are making decisions. And that's a way we can redeem these next couple of weeks or longer. And we'll go from there, faithfully and caringly for each other. Let me offer our Old Testament reading for this morning. It comes from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Hear these words. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pass before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus Christ, you have assured us that you are among us. In the gift of your Holy Spirit, you have reminded us that you're not only among us, but in us. Because we have brothers and sisters in Christ around us, whether physically or virtually or spiritually right now, through one another, you are among us, and we give you thanks. A lot of us are a little uncertain about what to do right now, Lord, and so we pray for guidance and wisdom. We do pray for our leaders. We pray for President Trump and Governor Northam and so many others who are trying to make decisions to help look after people here, our neighbors, and people across our country. And so we lift them up to you and pray that you would give them wisdom. Give us wisdom as we live and act as a part of the community that we live in. Help us to know the right ways to be good neighbors. Help us to know the right ways to love our neighbor as ourself. And so we pray for your help in all of that, Lord. You know the anxieties that people have right now, whether it's related to disease or so many other things. And so we lift them up to you and pray that you would comfort us and comfort them in their anxieties and their worries. We pray for people who are sick with the coronavirus or other diseases, that you would minister to them. And we're grateful for the nurses and doctors who are taking care of so many people right now. We're grateful that you see us. You see us for the good stuff that is in us and the good things that we do, but also you see us in our sin and our brokenness, and you love us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. remind us in this season of Lent that invites us to look at ourselves, to look honestly at ourselves, and to remember the offer and the gift of salvation you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this morning in His name and in the power of your Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. We will continue to worship together in song. We will sing together hymn 633, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And as you are able, would you stand while we sing together hymn 633.
Thank you. You may be seated. We have reached the point in our service where we are returning a portion of what we have been so graciously given from God back to Him. Today we will not be passing an offering plate. They are located at the doors as you go out. I know a lot of people dropped them off on their envelopes and offerings on the way in this morning when you came to the service. If there are any individuals in their homes and so forth, the mail is still running. You can still contribute by sending in your donations and so forth. They may close schools, they may close businesses, but at the end of the month, you're still going to get a bill. Church is no different than any one of us. We still have bills to pay, so we still need the funds in order to accomplish that. So let's keep that in mind as we go through these situations that we're going through, that we don't want to forget to do what we need to do as being responsible givers to our church. You may be seated. One last item that was overlooked in the beginning. We're supposed to be having a business meeting on 3/18, and again, like the rest of them, it is tentative at this time. So listen out. They'll let you know whether or not that's actually going to take place on that night. Thank you.
I invite you to join me in our gospel reading today. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. That's printed on the insert of your worship bulletin if you want to follow along there in the New Revised Standard Version, or feel free to follow along in your own Bible. The Gospel of John, beginning in verse 5. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, What do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar. He went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you have offered us your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could see your salvation, so that we could see ourselves, so that we could see the depth of your love for us in Jesus Christ. Help us to see and know that this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? This woman was confronted with this overwhelming, unexpected grace from this rabbi Messiah. She became a missionary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew everything about her. He knew how she'd been left by one husband after another, by death or by abandonment, we don't know. But she was one who, because of her relationship status, was a social outcast. Now, growing up, I was taught that this was a promiscuous woman. A woman who by her own choices and own volition had jumped from man to man, shacked up with a man who wasn't her husband. She'd had five husbands, and we assume it's all her fault. But as a woman in that day, in Jesus' day, she had very little agency of her own. She really didn't have any legal standing to divorce her five husbands. That would have been up to those men. If she was a divorcee or a widow, she's not in this situation by her own choice. She's a woman, a beloved creation of God, whose society has discarded over and over again. But then, she went to the well one day. She went to the well at noon, at the hottest part of the day, because she couldn't go when the other women were there. She went to the well one day, and she met Jesus. She was confronted by a gospel. She was confronted and offered a Savior who knew her whole story. Jesus saw a broken woman, a woman who'd been left out. And when her community abandoned her, Jesus refused to discard her. Jesus offered wholeness when every other man she knew had tossed her aside. In this time when we're learning this new term, social distancing, this woman was experiencing not just distancing, but exile. No one was offering Bieber hearts or Wakanda Forever signs, no fist bumps, no kind glances, nothing. I bet that when she walked through town, people looked the other way and refused to make eye contact with her. She had to go draw water at the hottest part of the day. And when she was there, she was offered living water. Have you ever felt isolated? Have you done something in your life that has made you to feel isolated from other people? Has something just happened in your life that, beyond your control, that made you feel distant from the people around you? Forced distance between you and your family, between you and your community. God sees that story just like he saw this woman's story. Jesus sees us in all of that story, all of that swirl of good and bad choices, of circumstances that we had no control over. God sees that story and offers us living water. We're all a mix of sins and repentance and circumstances and hopes and joys and aspirations. And in the midst of that, God sends Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. God knows my whole story. Just like he knew this woman's whole story, and he loves me. God sees your whole story, and he loves you. We're in this time and moment where people are going to feel isolated. They're going to be sequestered in their homes. Some people are going to be afraid to leave their homes because of age or pre-existing conditions or fear. And that social isolation affects the physical and mental and spiritual aspects of who we are. And I think that's how this woman felt. Isolated. Physically and mentally and spiritually. No one to share life with in the community. Cut off from everybody. And so in this, you know, when we know that people are going to feel that way, and there may be times that you feel that way, whether it's because of a virus or just life in general. There may be times where you feel isolated. And if we know people feel that way, and if we know sometimes we feel that way, and if we have a God who has come to us in Jesus Christ, and has come to us and ended our spiritual isolation, how will we minister to others who feel isolated by viruses or sin, or brokenness? This moment and every moment invites us to reach out to one another, even when we can't do it with hugs and handshakes, to reach out to one another and close that gap, because that is what God has done for us. In Jesus Christ, he narrows that space between humanity and our Creator. And he invites us to join him in that work of ending people's isolation, of helping them to see beyond those feelings of brokenness and exile, and inviting them into a community of love and faith because of our shared faith in Jesus Christ. We should be so overwhelmed with this idea that God has ended our isolation that we go back, just like this woman has gone back, and we tell everyone excitedly that we have met someone who knows everything we've ever done. And even in knowing all of that, Jesus' response to us is love. That should overflow into the same kind of desire to share that with the people around us. Can you imagine this woman hasn't hung out with the people in her town in years, maybe? And she comes back to town and starts telling them with this overflow of joy that the Messiah has come, that the one they've been looking for and waiting for has come, and he's hanging out at the well. And then they invite Jesus to town. Jesus comes to town and confirms all the things that she had told them about him. What if our joy and our salvation motivated us in the same way? That we wanted others, their isolation to be ended, for their brokenness to be made whole, for their sin to be forgiven because ours has to. He told me everything I have ever done, and he loves me. He sees everything you have ever done, and he loves you. We invite you to receive that love. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn 587. We invite you to stand and to sing. We invite you to respond to the gospel however it leads you. Don't come up and lean in for a hug, but come and share. Our hymn invitation is hymn 587, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. As we go, just one offer of ways that we can minister in our community. Reach out to the people who might not be able to get out. Make sure that they have the things that they need. If there's something that you need and aren't able to get it, whether you're in here in person or you're hearing us on Facebook, let us know and the church will help however we can. We don't want people to feel isolated or without because of these next couple of weeks. But find ways to minister to one another. Let's join in our benediction together. May the love of God be the passion in your heart.
May the joy of God be our strength in times of hard.
May the presence of God be a peace that overflows.
And may the word of God be the seed we go now to sow.
Amen. And God bless you.